السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ہمارا یہ دعویٰ ہے
It is our claim that inshallah Ahmadiyyat will prevail and be triumphant in the world. Ahmadiyyat is not separate to Islam. In fact, true Islam is Ahmadiyyat, or Ahmadiyyat is alone the true Islam. However much clamor and hue and cry our opponents raise that Ahmadis are non-Muslims, the practical testimony of Allah the Almighty at all times reassures us that God Almighty is with us as a collective community. And if true Islamic teachings are to be found anywhere in the world, then it can be found from the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It can be found from that Imam of the time, from that promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, who Allah the Almighty appointed in accordance with his prophecies for the rejuvenation of Islam, or through whom the revival of Islam is to occur. Thus, whether it is the Islamic countries or the non-Muslim world, God has now decreed that the true teachings of Islam and the true message of Islam will be conveyed by the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. If not today, then tomorrow, the world will come to know that the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat are the true Muslims and are in the true sense the community who are representing Islam. Two days ago, a journalist from the Los Angeles Times came here and asked the question that you are in small numbers here in the USA. Not many people are even acquainted with you. Thus, how can you spread this peaceful message in the USA, which you claim is a true message of Islam? So, this is what I replied to her, that this does not only pertain to the USA. In the USA and in the entire world, one day, inshallah, we will win either your hearts or the hearts of your progeny and bring you under the fold of Islam. I thought that she may report this in a slightly different manner. However, this morning before coming here, I read her report and interview. She has more or less accurately reported everything that was discussed. The reality is that in the same way that the decree of Allah the Almighty always provides the help and succor of the prophets, similarly, the same promises are attached with the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. As I explained, the practical testimony of Allah the Almighty always manifests exactly this. We are firm upon the belief that Allah the Almighty, with relation to the words of the Holy Quran, that كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي, that Allah has decreed, most surely I will prevail, I and my messengers. As Allah the Almighty has always manifested these words to be true, today also, when Allah the Almighty has promised the promised Messiah alayhi salam and reassured him in these very words and has also revealed it to him. Most certainly, Allah the Almighty would manifest this to be true also. For the promised Messiah alone has been appointed in this era to convey the teachings of the Holy Quran in the world. So it is impossible that Allah the Almighty would not confer the means of His help and succor to the one who He has appointed to spread His religion. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, God Almighty has ordained from the very beginning, He has declared it His law and His practice, that He and His prophets will always prevail. So thus, since I am His prophet, in other words, one sent by Him, although without any new law or new claim or new name, rather, I have come acquiring the name of that Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seal of the prophets, giving myself up to him completely and coming as his manifestation. Thus, I say that just as from the earliest times, that is the time of Adam, to the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the purport of this verse has always been fulfilled. Similarly, it will prove to be true for my sake. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, can these people, through the disregard and aversion, stop God Almighty's true will, which has been testified to by all the prophets from the beginning? Rather, God's prophecy is about to come true, that كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Therefore, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, I do not have even an iota of doubt, and nor can a true Ahmadi harbour such a one, that God forbid the Jamaat, the community, at any time will become deprived of the help and succour of Allah, or that this victory and triumph will not occur. It should be absolutely clear for every Ahmadi here regarding what this triumph actually is. Is this triumph linked to taking the control of governments? Or will this triumph be attained when the majority in each country becomes of Ahmadis? This is also one form of triumph. It is, however, the practice of God Almighty that this victory and triumph comes about in two ways. One part occurs in the lifetime of the Prophet himself and occurs directly through him. The other part occurs after the lifetime of the Prophet. But that also occurs through spreading the message of the Prophet. But in any case, it occurs after that Prophet. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has explained this in the following manner. And by predominance is meant that as messengers and prophets desire that God's Hujjat is established in the world and no one is able to oppose it. Thus, this is also a form of predominance granted to the prophets by Allah in this world. The promised Messiah says further, so in turn does God demonstrate with powerful signs their truthfulness, as well as the truth they wish to spread in the world. He lets them sow the seed of it. So thus the triumph that occurs through the Prophet is that the world comes to know of the existence of God, that there is a God, that the world comes to learn that these arguments and reasonings that this Prophet is imparting has been received by him through the special support of Allah. No one can compete with the knowledge and spiritual insight of a Prophet. Then, such signs manifest in the support of the Prophet, through which his truthfulness becomes evident. It may perhaps be the case that the opponents of the Prophets increase in their enmity. However, they can never falsify the signs and arguments that they present or manifest. The opponents of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were stubborn, desired to lead their life on the precepts of their forefathers. They did not have any arguments to present. They only possessed stubbornness and obstinacy. Similarly, as Allah the Almighty conferred upon the promised Messiah alayhi salam reasoning and arguments, the opponents of the promised Messiah alayhi salam neither in his time had any arguments to rebut him, and nor do they have that today. Then in the same way, there are signs. In the lifetime of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, there was the sign of the solar and lunar eclipse. Previously, the so-called Muslim clergy used to demand for the solar and lunar eclipse to occur, as they said it was a sign for the coming of the Messiah and the Mahdi. When this sign manifested, they started interpreting it in different ways. Then there is the sign of earthquakes. In addition, there are countless other signs. Those who do not want to believe will not accept. However, righteous and sincere persons go on entering into the Jamaat. The Prophet sows the seed that he is to sow. The Prophet conveys the true teachings to the world that he is to convey. The impact of this goes on manifesting with the passing of time. This is exactly what occurred in accordance with the promises made to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The seed that he sowed became a flourishing crop and is becoming manifest and continues to do so. So thus this is one form of triumph and victory. Indeed, during the lifetime of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, hundreds of thousands of people took the Pledge of Allegiance at his hands. However, it was the triumph from Allah the Almighty that countless signs manifested in his support. From an intellectual and spiritual perspective also, no one could compete with him. Then, as I said, the second part of triumph and victory begins after the demise of the Prophet. In essence, this is actually a continuation of the arguments presented by the Prophet and the signs that manifested in his favor. However, this occurs after the lifetime of the Prophet. Although the opponents assume that the Prophet has now passed away, they consider that the man who made this claim has met his demise and has departed from this world. So now they believe that once again we will win over this community and bring them back amongst us. They assume that we will spread disorderly concepts to turn them away from the community, because there is no one left to cater for them. They assume that the temporary triumph achieved by the Prophet will now reach its end. This is the manner of thinking of the opponents. The opponents of the promised Messiah alayhi salam also presumed exactly this. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, had informed us with respect to this from before. He stated that my triumph will be that same triumph of the prophets. And unless the promises of Allah the Almighty are fulfilled, this will continue. Thus the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that even if I pass away, do not be distressed. For the seed that I have sown will become a flourishing and fruit-laden trees, and will remain established through the second manifestation, namely Khilafat, so that the promise of triumph can continuously be fulfilled. Therefore, as one part of triumph is fulfilled in the lifetime of the Prophet, and one part of the triumph is fulfilled after the passing away of the Prophet. Similarly, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is witnessing the fulfillment of the second part of the promises made to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Indeed, the progress and the triumph of Jamaat will come to pass, as I previously explained. From a numerical perspective also, this will come about. We are also witnessing this aspect come to the fore. However, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has also explained our responsibilities in a manner through which we can become a part of this triumph for generation after generation. These responsibilities were the same that the Holy Quran ordained. Tread on the path of taqwa. Reform yourself. Take assessment of your spiritual and moral condition. Fulfill this task and mission that was entrusted to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, came in servitude to his master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to establish the kingdom of the one God on this earth, and to rid the world of shirk, associating partners with God. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated, God Almighty desires to draw all those who live in various habitations of the world, be it Europe or Asia, and who have virtuous nature, to the unity of God, and unite His servants under one faith. This indeed is the purpose of God, for which I have been sent to the world. You too, therefore, should pursue this end, but with kindness, moral probity, and fervent prayers. Thus the aspects that are required to establish the world upon Tawheed, the oneness of God, and to establish the world upon the one faith are: firstly, there is tabligh, preaching. It is to convey the message of God. Secondly, it is to elevate the level of one's morals to the highest possible standards. Thirdly, it is through the means of prayers to beseech God for help. Therefore, today, every Ahmadi, every such person who associates himself with the promised Messiah on whom be peace, needs to understand these responsibilities This is so they can become a means of achieving this objective for which the promised Messiah on whom be peace was sent. Indeed, signs and arguments were conferred by God, and until today, it is through these very signs that we witness the progress of Ahmadiyyat. If we look at our own efforts in this regard, then they are not even 100,000th of the fraction of the part of the blessings and graces being conferred by Allah the Almighty upon the community. However, Allah the Almighty has informed us of our responsibilities. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has drawn our attention towards these. If each and every single one of us does not give attention towards them, we will not be able to become the recipient of those blessings that are attached to becoming active members of the Jamaat of the promised Messiah. So thus, we need to give attention towards this, we need to give heed towards these points. Indeed, it may be the case that the fruits are not being reaped through our efforts. The blessings are not being received through our own endeavors. These are only and purely the grace of God. It is the blessings of that God who always has a sense of honor for His beloved ones, who when He appoints someone with His special will, He fulfills the promises that go alongside Him in an extraordinary manner and utterly humiliates the enemies. In fact, new stages of progress are surpassed by the community of the Chosen One. However, as I stated, we have yet been commanded to make efforts. Allah the Almighty has laid down the qualities of those who make efforts in the Holy Quran. In one place of the Holy Quran, this has been mentioned as follows. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And who is better in speech than he who invites men to Allah and does good works and says, I am surely of those who submit. So thus these are the points, namely Dawat Lillah or Tabligh, calling people to Allah or preaching, to remain vigilant over one's actions, to perform righteous deeds, to discharge the rights of Allah and the rights due to mankind, to show perfect obedience and submission to the commands of Allah, to one's maximum capabilities and capacities to discharge the dues of these rights. For preaching cannot be successful until one looks over his own actions and performs them in accordance with the teachings of Allah the Almighty and to keep the pleasure of Allah the Almighty in view whilst performing those deeds. When during gatherings and meetings an Ahmadi pledges that I will give precedence to my faith over the worldly matters, then it is also necessary to give complete regard to this. It is only then that others will observe our good example and be attracted towards us. When the Khulafa have given this challenge to the world, or when now I say to the world that we will continue to convey the message of Allah the Almighty to the world tirelessly, and that one day we will win over the hearts of all people and bring them under the fold of Islam. So then, this message is given with this good thought and consideration, that whilst performing excellent and beautiful actions, and whilst displaying perfect submission and obedience to Allah the Almighty, the standard of spiritual progress of the members of the community will not only remain established, but in fact will go on improving onwards and upwards. And that with an unyielding endeavor, they will continue to further the mission and message of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Allah the Almighty may indeed have stated that there should be a body of people amongst you who acquire religious knowledge and who are well versed in religious matters, or tafaqquh fi din. That day, they should convey the message of Allah to their fellow citizens, to all people and to the world, continuously. However, believers have also been enjoined to carry out Dawatulillah, the work of preaching and inviting others to God. If, at the present time, there is a shortage of missionaries, we cannot wait for them to become prepared and then further the work of preaching. We will have to form groups everywhere to further this work of preaching, who can convey the message of Allah the Almighty constantly and continuously. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, there is a segment of people in every country amongst the members of the Jamaat who are enthusiastic about preaching, and they take out time for this purpose. There are similarly people of this kind in the USA, where despite the fact, it is said that as a result of the harsh economic conditions here, it is needed to work longer hours. And as a result, there is greater inclination towards earning or worldly matters. However, with the grace of Allah, I have noticed that there is also a segment of people here as well, who act in such an excellent manner upon the pledge of giving precedence to their faith over the world that it is astounding and leads one to praying for them. I have met such people who run small businesses or even just market stalls, but alongside that, they have maintained their preaching activities. They have utilized these market stalls as a means for their preaching. Previously, they complained that they could not ascertain the required literature. They now say that we do acquire the necessary literature for the Spanish language of this region. However, as a result of the widening scope in this field through literature, they are now demanding, and they have a passion, an unyielding desire inside them, that as quickly as possible, they should obtain Spanish-speaking missionaries with religious knowledge. The Jamaat, in accordance with its resources, inshallah, is making efforts to provide missionaries. However, if there is this much of a demand, the Jamaat should also strive to infuse the spirit in the children and youth, that they should present themselves to acquire religious knowledge by entering into Jamia Ahmadiyya. This is so that they can obtain people who can convey the message in accordance with the local traditions and tendencies and local language. This passion and zeal for preaching, for tabligh, is not only found in old Ahmadis or elders of the Jamaat. In fact, I've also seen it amongst the youngsters. Here, a new Ahmadi, who perhaps lives in this area in Baypoint, came to meet me and was extremely excited and enthusiastic. This person who came to meet me was of Spanish origin. So thus he was excited of how Ahmadiyyat and true Islam can be conveyed to the people of this region in the quickest manner possible. He remarked that I have memorized 40% of the Bible, and now I am learning the arguments of the Holy Quran. This is also a message for the old Ahmadis who do not give heed towards this. So this person said, I am remembering the arguments from the Holy Quran and I carry out preaching. And according to his statement, people are distancing from Christianity, but not from religion and not from Allah the Almighty. They are in search of God. For this reason, in order to fill this vacuum, we should come forth. In order to enlighten them with respect to the true religion, in order to draw them near to God the Exalted, there is a need for us to carry out immense work of preaching. In any case, observing this person's keen desire, my attention was also drawn towards this. I have also carried out extensive discussions in this respect with the missionary in charge. I have also given instructions to the Amir Sahib. However, if the auxiliary organizations also works together with the Jamaat level and makes programs of Waqf-e-Arzi, and in those areas where the circumstances are favorable, more work is carried out, then at least in this region, amongst the Hispanic people, the introduction of Ahmadiyyat and the true Islam can be carried out. This needs to be undertaken essentially. The demands have become so large now that there is no longer a concern of how we can introduce Islam and Ahmadiyyat. Allah the Almighty has opened up such routes which astounds not only in the USA, but in fact also amongst the countries in South America. Ahmadis from Guatemala have come here. They are extremely enthusiastic and passionate preachers. So they said, give us missionaries, give us literature, which is in accordance with the local Spanish language. For there are some considerable differences in dialect in the Spanish they speak and the Spanish spoken in Spain. And normally our literature is prepared in Spain. So thus when I said that we are giving attention in Spain and for the time being utilize the literature prepared there, he said, you are concerned about the place there where there are only 40 million people, whereas here there are 400 million Spanish-speaking persons. So thus these are these true helpers and preachers, or those who call towards Allah, which are being conferred by Allah the Almighty to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Therefore now it would appear that the decree of Allah the Almighty is leveling the ground for us. This is in the United States and also in the neighboring countries. Allah the Almighty has blown a wind. In California, it is said that the majority is of Hispanic people. Amongst whom it would appear that they have an inclination towards religion. But now they are in search of the true religion. So thus, a special program should be formed for this region. The people living here need to give attention towards their responsibilities. For the time being, the existing literature available should be utilized and taken avail of. As quickly as possible, in accordance with the local language, literature should be prepared. This consideration of mine that the scope for Ahmadiyyat is vast here gained further strength when I read a letter from our Muballigh or missionary Azhar Hanif Sahib. This was a few days before I came here. In that letter, he wrote about a dream of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, the fourth head of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Khalifatul Masih IV perhaps mentioned this in one of his sermons. That letter is not before me at this time. However, as far as I remember, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV saw in the dream a surging sea of multitudes of Ahmadis. There, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV says that that region appeared to be like Los Angeles. So thus, if we make efforts, if each and every single one of us joins this endeavor, then the true revolution comes to pass, or the effects and impact of the revolution quickly manifests when people make efforts in its way. So thus, this is a divine decree that Allah the Almighty will fulfill the promises of triumph that He gave to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. However, if we desire to become a part of that triumph, then every Ahmadi living here would have to channel the current of his thoughts in accordance with the decree of Allah. Some people consider, as a result of their own lack of fortitude and weakness, that the people here are worldly. They have no interest or regard for religion. The largest movie industry in the world is present here, and there is immense glitz and glamour in this area. Yes, all of this does exist. However, there is also a large segment of the people here who are waiting for us. The more I ponder over this, the more it firmly roots in my heart that it is not unlikely that the revolution of Ahmadiyyat in the United States will emanate from this region. Thus, we should not utilize our weaknesses to search for excuses and shoulder the blame upon these people. So where the administration of the Jamaat should make efforts through a special program, and if a program has already been formed, it should be implemented. There, on the other hand, the auxiliary organization should do also. In fact, every single Ahmadi living here, and not only the Ahmadis living in the state, rather the Ahmadis living in the entire country, have this responsibility. Their pledge and oath of allegiance places this very responsibility upon them. That amongst the responsibilities of preachers or those called to God is to perform amal saliha, righteous deeds, and to display perfect submission and obedience. This would need to be given heed towards. Efforts should be made to achieve this. How is this possible? For this, we would have to look to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. What did he require from us? How did he want to see us? By just saying that we are worldly people, we are weak. It is sufficient for us that we have just taken the bet, the oath of allegiance. Through this alone, we cannot be saved from accountability to God. Perhaps Ahmadi Muslims, in comparison to other Muslims, are in a better condition after coming into the oath of allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And perhaps they have at least been saved from the sin of rejection of a prophet. However, a true believer is he who traverses the stages of progress. He surpasses the stage of aslamna, that we have submitted, we have become Muslim, and he remains ever active and endeavors to enhance his faith. He surpasses the state of outward and apparent submission and strives to achieve perfect obedience and submission. There are many Ahmadis here in whose families Ahmadiyyat has passed down from their forefathers. Those elders and their forefathers surpassed well beyond aslamna, that we have submitted, and displayed the manifestation of amanna, that we are true believers, and they made extraordinary sacrifices. Thus it is also the duty of the progeny of those elders to regard their sacrifices and their desires. When regard is given to their desires, then you will also become the recipient of their prayers. Thus, those who have lived here for a long period should take their assessment in this respect also, that they also have to fulfill the due of their elders. Further, there is also a segment of the members of the Jamaat who have started to come here over the last few years. They have only arrived here for the purpose that in their own countries the circumstances were made to be extremely harsh. The Western countries, or the governments of the Western countries, including the United States of America, have only given them the rights of citizen and are accepting them, because as an Ahmadi, they were deprived of their civic rights in their own country. Not only were they deprived of their right as a citizen, in fact, they are being crushed in the middle of persecution. So thus, you have come here only because you are an Ahmadi. This aspect demands that you also display the practical example of a true Ahmadi. Here, I shall once again draw attention towards the point. The asylum seekers here, or those who have come as refugees, as a result of a lack of work, remain in distress. They may indeed search for work. However, in whatever free time they have, they should acquire literature and set out and fulfill the responsibility of preaching. By sitting at home, depression is increased. So by doing this, you will be saved from this depression. And perhaps through carrying out this activity, Allah the Almighty may improve your circumstances. And inshallah, Allah the Almighty will bless you in this way. Nonetheless, I would now like to briefly explain what type of a Jamaat the Promised Messiah alayhi salam desired to see, or what expectations he had of us. First of all, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated that this movement has been established so that faith in Allah the Almighty increases. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, "It is discerned from the Holy Quran that faith increases through reflection and deliberation. Thus, in order to increase our faith in Allah, first of all, we would have to regularly read His book, the Holy Quran. We would have to reflect and deliberate over it. By not reading the wide-ranging and vast literature left by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam for us, we are only depriving our own selves. This deprivation becomes the means of weakening of faith. Thus, there is an immense need for us to give heed towards this." Then the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated, "Faith also increased through signs. Allah the Almighty, as a sign, also revealed to the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that people would come to you from far off places and in multitudes." We observe these scenes in the lifetime of the Promised Messiah, and history has recorded this. In fact, we observe this every year, in every jalsa, in every country. Today also, we observe exactly this. People have come from far off distances only to offer the Friday prayer, burdening long traveling distances and spending money. They have only come for the reason that the Khalifa of the time has come here. All of this is as a result of love for the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, which takes the shape of the attachment to Khilafat. If eyes that can see truly look in this direction, and if every heart and mind that reflects and deliberates keeps this in view, then faith in the existence of God and in the truthfulness of the Jamaat will go from strength to strength. Then the Promised Messiah has explained the sign of a true Ahmadi, that after coming into the oath of his allegiance, love for Allah increases. He says that Allah the Almighty sent a truthful person at this time and as well to prepare a community that loves Allah. Thus, every single one of us needs to take a self-assessment. That to what extent have we progressed in our love for God? Are we performing those righteous deeds, those amal saliha, for the sake of acquiring the love of God, which Allah the Almighty has enjoined in the Holy Quran? Or are we searching out for those righteous deeds and striving to implementing them? If this is not the case, then we would still be lingering in the vicinity of Aslamna to only say that we are Muslims. Allah the Almighty desires for us to enhance our faith. Allah the Almighty requires and demands from us that we should strengthen in our faith. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, I know full well the state of us and our Jamaat. Help and succor of Allah Exalted will be with us if we tread on the right path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. The Promised Messiah states, I know full well of the state of the Jamaat and us. Help and succor of Allah the Exalted will be with us in this condition if we tread on Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path. And if we follow the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, truly and perfectly. If we make the teachings of the Holy Quran our code of conduct and prove these aspects with our practice and condition, that is to say, our practical state should be such that it should prove that we are implementing all these aspects, and not just merely with our words. If we adopt this method, then certainly remember that even if the entire world joins forces to destroy us, we will not be destroyed. This is because God would be with us. However, if we are disobedient to God and have severe ties with Him, no one and no opponent would be needed to scheme to destroy us. For God would Himself first of all destroy us. The Promised Messiah then says, be thoroughly mindful that if you do not adopt taqwa and do not abundantly partake of the righteousness that Allah the Almighty wants, then He would first of all destroy you, because you have accepted the truth, yet practically you have rejected it. Do not ever rely only or be proud on the fact alone that you have taken the bet. Unless you fully adopt taqwa, you will never be saved. God Almighty is not related to any person, nor does He give concessions for anyone. Our opponents are also created by Him, and you are also His creation. Mere creed and doctrine alone will never be of avail unless your word and deed are in conformity. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam, admonishing the Jamaat to increase in taqwa, to give heed towards righteous deeds, and towards fulfilling the rite of prayer, he states, to only avoid sins is no excellence. It behoves our Jamaat to not stop there. In fact, they should endeavor to attain both excellences and do this through effort and through prayer. In other words, they should avoid sins and adopt piety. A person is impacted by the actions of others. This is why he has stated to conform your words with your deeds. And this is why Allah the Almighty has drawn the attention of preachers, those who call towards Allah, towards performing righteous deeds. The promised Messiah states, act in a gentle manner. Prove the truthfulness of this mission with your inner purity and pious ways. This is my advice. Always remember it. Thus, the truthfulness of our Jamaat will be proven at that point, when our inner and outer selves will be one and the same, when our word and deed are in conformity, when we explain the beautiful teachings of Islam to the newcomers and assimilate them within us. Then we would have to eliminate all differences of color, caste, and race, and in accordance with the true teachings of Islam, meet every single person as brothers and embrace them. We would have to treat them as our own relatives. Many African Americans became Ahmadis in the previous times. Their progenies and future generations then became distant from the Jamaat. Amongst the reasons for this, one is, this is the complaint which often is cited whenever I have asked, it is that the majority of Pakistanis did not adequately and properly assimilate them. They did explain the teachings of Islam to them, but they did not themselves act in accordance with it. Although it is also the misfortune of those who became distant, that instead of paying regard towards the faith, they kept on giving attention towards certain people and personalities. However, those who became the source of their stumbling became a part of that misfortune. Thus, there is also a need to give heed towards this. I shall present a last and final extract of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. Know full well that in the sight of Allah the Almighty, such people are not beloved, who wear exquisite clothes, are extremely wealthy, and take particular pleasure in fine food and drink. In fact, such people are dear in the sight of God, who give precedence to the faith over the world. They lose themselves entirely to God. Just give heed towards this aspect rather than the first aspect. He says that amongst his promises, one is when Allah the Almighty states, وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Meaning, and will place those who follow thee above those who disbelieve until the day of resurrection. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, it is true that he will triumph my followers over the opponents. However, it is worthy of reflection that each person who takes the bet on my hand does not become my follower. Until he does not develop that complete state of following, he cannot become a true follower. Until he does not follow truly, in the manner that he entirely immerses himself in obedience and follows in my footsteps. Until then, the word obedience does not apply to him. Through this, it is discerned. He says, through this, it can be discerned that Allah the Almighty has destined such a community for me who will lose themselves in obedience to me and will be wholly and entirely obedient to me. Through this, I am reassured and my sorrow turns into hope and expectation. Although the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was concerned for a Jamaat to be formed who are perfectly obedient, and this anguish would cause him to be restless. However, he has said that Allah the Almighty has promised for such people to be a part of the community who are of this type. So thus, he said that I have hope and expectation that such people will continuously be born. Through Allah the Almighty's grace, such persons have been conferred to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, who are sincere and perfectly obedient, and such people are continuously being conferred to him. However, we most certainly should be concerned of our own selves, that every single one of us should be achieving that standard which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam desired of us. May Allah the Almighty enable us to acquire this level so that we can witness the triumph of Ahmadiyyat with our own eyes.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.